peace to those places where warfare rages. Give us the vision to see a world in which all grow weary with war and fighting. And turn their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. These things we ask in the name of the Prince of Peace. After last Sunday's All Saints gathering, I have been thinking of my balcony people this week. Perhaps you have as well. And because of that, I've been thinking about buildings, balconies, and otherwise. I continue to explore this building, its nooks and crannies. I discovered a couple of closets just the other day. And I must admit a fascination about all of this. Even though I have no particular building capacity whatsoever. I used to watch this old house every Saturday morning, long before the proliferation of home improvement shows and constant YouTube videos. I don't know if you remember that show, Norm and Tommy and Richard and the Boys, refurbishing an old house with great skill and artistry and presumably an unlimited budget. Even after watching episode after episode, no more would I perform open heart surgery after watching Grey's Anatomy than I would do what they did just by watching this old house. I loved it. I appreciated it. Whenever I go to work on Habitat for Humanity projects, I'm often tasked with the lowest skilled job of all the jobs. My father, who taught me many things, taught me how to use exactly two tools. Duct tape and a staple gun. I love buildings, this old house, I love homes, museums, especially church buildings. In fact, I had to strike an agreement with Bonnie and the kids as we traveled this summer. I could visit as many churches as I wanted, but they would at most visit two, one per week that we were away. I said fair enough to them. I read with that level of interest and commitment, along with a more general sense of gratitude, the lectionary passage from the book of the prophet Haggai that Barbara read just a moment ago. Haggai may be familiar to us, just two pages, tucked back in the back of the Old Testament, showing up only every so often in the lectionary. But it's a familiar narrative and a timely message. We might remember from Sunday school days the Babylonian exile. We might remember a name like Cyrus of Persia. Remember that he conquered Babylon and published a decree that allowed the captive Jews to return to Palestine. And then he further encouraged them to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Many church thinkers have suggested that we who live in the Presbyterian Church and other mainline churches are also experiencing a kind of exile. Much of that exile talk has been precipitated by significant membership decline in the denomination over the past few decades, or our reduced role in matters of culture. We're exiled, and now we want to come back. Whenever I'm in a conversation like that, whenever the exile image is raised, I always want to know exile from what and come back to what. That is to say, if the sense is that we are exiled from an old model of success, and that we simply want to recapture nostalgically the former glory days, well, I'm not much interested in that discussion. However, if the conversation leads us to consider that we may be in exile from a sense of vibrancy and urgency and faithfulness, and that we seek to recover something of the challenge and excitement of the deepest roots of our faith, we cannot be in. So Israel was coming back, returning in a physical sense. But that physical location is only a slim part of the story, a small piece of the greater whole. A new temple was completed, things are important, but only so far as they promote genuine faith within the walls and joyful and compassionate service beyond the walls. Another way to say it, Truth Sunday is before Stewardship Sunday is this. Just as the church is about the building and so much more, so is stewardship about money and so much more. Or another way to say it is that Stewardship Sunday is profoundly about money, but in a profoundly different way. Because the issues are spiritual and communal. The issue is hope. Haggai says that the time is now. And then he paints a wonderful image, speaking in the voice of God. He says, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, so that the treasure of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with splendor. And the latter splendor of this house will be greater than the former. The kind of divine shakedown that I imagine, so the created world and all those who live in it will respond to God's invitation. And what falls out of the shaking is a richness of treasure that will surpass anything ever seen. Steve Davidson writes that God's voice helps the community understand the meaning of its major symbol. That rallies the community from the task of restoration of the temple precisely because the temple serves a critical function in the community. That calls the people, Davidson says, to acknowledge the centrality of the temple. The centrality of the temple. And John Fulmer writes this. He says, yes, Haggai wanted to rebuild the temple. Certainly not for its own sake. The bricks and mortar of any building have no meaning, apart from the conviction that God has brought us out of the bondage of Egypt and remains with us still. No matter what this building looks like, God is here, and God is working. Because I think so much about church buildings and spend so much time in them, I do understand that they can become ends to their own means, a kind day, Sunday by Sunday, and how it renews our lives and calls us into the world to serve God. Splinter is the nurture that happens with our children and youth and adults, all of us lifelong learners in the faith. Splinter is the many forms of music and art that happen here, captured today by this extraordinary soulful exhibit. As well. This week it's been Thanksgiving Bag for Habitat for Humanity, or PIN. The scholar Stan Duncan writes that we are living in a haggard era, where people with widely and wildly varying expectations of what a church is supposed to do and be, and with not nearly enough resources to fulfill half of them. And at the end of the day, church and ministry in the realm of God on earth is not about budgets and buildings and memberships and endowments, Duncan says. It was and is and always will be about creating a community, locally and globally, in which people feel the presence of God in their midst, lifting, enabling, empowering, and redeeming their lives and the lives of others. Might not be too surprised to learn that one of my favorite movies is Field of Dreams. On our first anniversary, actually, Bonnie packed up the car we headed west from Chicago and ended up in Dyersville, Indiana, to see the real field. And she packed my baseball glove and we played catch there. It was one of the sweetest things ever you could imagine. As I wondered if yes, was it life in heaven? The famous line from that movie, spoken by that mysterious voice to Ren, is this: we all know it. If you build it, they will come. If you build it, they will come. And in church, we used to think that if you simply build a building with decent parking, people will come. That was the culture then. That was the time then. If you build it, they will come. The Field of Dreams was never the field itself. It was the game that was played on it, the players that played the game, the relationships that formed, including between a father and a son. That was the splendor. And so I will continue to love church buildings and lead